Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank. Folks, if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, maybe a presentation or so, well, go engage a smart and reliable office angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline, they lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. And now I'd like to welcome Gary Grace with Atlanta North Art Gallery and Derek Griffin with SpearTech. But we're going to start with Gary. We're going to talk art with Gary. Gary.
Wow.
Welcome.
I'm first.
Yeah. Bring it on, man. Yeah,
well. Hey, my name is Gary Grace, and I own an art gallery called Atlanta North Art Gallery. But you can call me Hat Cat John, please, if you don't mind.
I would love to call you Hat Cat if you'll tell me where you got that nickname.
Well, my wife gave me that nickname. She says I'm a cool cat that wears a lot of hats.
Okay.
So that's where that name came from.
Now, you brought a hat in the studio. You want to describe it? We'll have this in the show notes. We'll have a picture of this in the show notes, but describe it.
Well, the hat is a top hat because I am the cool cat named Hat Cat. And so during exhibits, I wear my top hats and people can find me quite easily. I kind of, some people say it looks like Abraham Lincoln's hat. It's pretty tall, but this hat I have here today is really short. So I do have a really tall hat, top hat.
You've got not just a hat, but a personality to come with it, right?
I mean, yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Bring it on, Gary. I like it. Now, tell us about you. What inspired you to become an artist?
My mother was an interior designer and a decorator, also as well as an upholsterer. And so and also in high school, a friend of mine, Josh Geldridge, we attended school all the way from grade school to middle through high school. And Josh used to draw a lot of the comic book figures. And my mother was an interior designer. I used to look at her art. And actually, those are the two people that inspired me to become an artist.
That's wonderful. Now, tell us a little bit about the kind of art that you execute yourself.
Well, my style of art it derived from the landscapes of Pittsburgh. We had that's where I'm from, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And at that time, there were, of course, you guys may know that there was a lot of steel mills there. So I would look at the steel mills as they decayed and they closed them down, and it inspired me to create this brand of art, which is industrial abstract.
Now, that's interesting. So unpack that a little bit, industrial abstract.
Well, it's abstract with sharp lines that run through it. So this painting I created it came from New York City. So I was looking at the skyscrapers as I was taking photographs, and I saw these tall, towering buildings. So I said, I think I got something here. So I went home and I created this massive piece, and it's called Gothic Steel. And that piece is on my website, so you'll be able to see that. It might not be able to take that back, but it's in the gallery.
Gotcha. That's pretty good, because folks will have to come out to the gallery to see it.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah,
please,
right.
Come to the gallery, please.
And we'll direct them there in a second. But so really what you're doing is, Gary, which is pretty cool, is creating beauty out of something a lot of people don't see beauty in.
Yes, yes. For me, everything is art. And if you believe in the creator has created everything. And so I look at every and anything as art, all the way down to an amoeba. If there's a structure, then there, and it was designed by the creator, then it's art, period.
I love that philosophy. Gary Grace, he is with Atlanta Art North Gallery. Now, Gary, what provoked you, other than maybe getting needing more room for your art, which is I could see how that would be a motivation, but what motivated you to open an art gallery?
Well, my first art gallery was in Roswell 24 years ago. It failed miserably. I picked the wrong location. And, you know, location is location. And I picked the wrong location. Mm. So this time around, we have rental property, and I put my art gallery in this rental space. The rental space quickly filled up. So then I obtained a warehouse, which is over there at Peachtree Corners, right off of Peachtree Industrial Boulevard. So I needed this space to create these giant pieces of work that I have. And now I almost filled that place up too.
Really?
Yeah.
Already?
Yes.
You've been open how long?
Actually, I've been in the place for 7 months, but the grand opening was 6 weeks ago.
Gotcha. And so you've already filled up the place?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so we need to get folks out there to buy some art so that we can create some more room, right?
Yes. They can also lease the art as well. So you don't have to purchase it. So if you're staging, whatever it is that people stage, if you're a movie director and you need to put pieces in your set, you can also lease the space, lease my art as well.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. So how does that work? I mean, do you lease for a few days for an event or for a longer period of time, or how does that work?
Well, we lease it by the week, or up to a month or a year. It's up to the person who's writing that check. I say, that check, you can lease it for 2 years if you want.
Gotcha.
I'd like to have it back.
Of course. We're speaking with Gary Grace, and Gary is the owner of Atlanta North Art Gallery. So what do you enjoy about owning a gallery? Because that puts a business angle on something that's kind of a personal passion. And a lot of people do that with their business, whether it's art or, you know, working on laptops or whatever. But you're, how does that work for you?
Well, first of all, my gallery is pretty unique. My wife and I own a business called IBEX IT Business Experts. And so we're a technology family. And so we use technology to help make it easier for me not to be there. So this is what you don't know, John.
Oh.
It's completely automated. So you show up at the door. If you're a buyer or a designer or a collector, you come to the place, and we can be in a different city, state, country, and I can let you in through the maglock system. So I see you ring the bell or you push the button that calls me. And if you're part of my database, I will let you in. So you walk in. I have already disarmed the alarm. The lights as you walk in automatically turn on. And there's face recognition cameras throughout the entire place. So I can talk to you from every room in the gallery. And as you look at pieces or say, hey, I'm interested in this, well, I'm looking at you through the phone, and my little robot cameras that are kind of creepy, they're kind of creepy. Yeah. they just track you around the room, and I talk to you.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then you leave, and the door locks automatically, and the lights time out.
Wow, that is pretty awesome. So you can conceivably go to your gallery pretty much anytime.
Yes.
I can get you on the phone, right?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Now, you're both an artist and a photographer.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the interplay there.
Well, for me, art is everything, and everything is art. I love doing photography. It's really one of my first loves. I just love it. And I'm a landscape photographer, so I find beauty in just about everything. So as I'm walking along, I if it's with my cell phone or with my camera, I am snapping photos. Me and my wife, we go on vacations, and I'm always lagging behind because what am I doing? Taking photographs. And half the time she's in these photographs, it's just the back. Her back is there. And so I really enjoy taking photographs. There's nothing like it. And so when I'm teaching people how to take shots, I tell them this: a shot, take the shot. If you see the shot, take the shot. Don't hesitate, because the light may move. You'll come back an hour later and it just doesn't feel the same. So you see the shot, everyone, take the shot.
I like it. Now, Gary, you have been pretty open and honest about the fact you're dyslexic.
Yes.
And talk about how that having dyslexia has affected you along your journey, and what you've learned out of that journey.
Well, being a dyslexic person, it's a form of handicap. Some people don't know what dyslexia is. And what dyslexia is you see words backwards. You're challenged with the phonetics of words. And so, and you also can be a dyslexic person with numbers. So some of you people out there who are having troubles with your numbers, or you're wondering why you're saying the wrong, you're looking at 52, but you're saying 25. And that's what a dyslexic person has to deal with. So it's very challenging. And it, for kids that are dyslexic, it's heartbreaking, because they can't figure out why they're different. And no one can see this handicap, because it's not nothing you could see. So then they get confused with people that are, they think that they're illiterate, but that's not the case. And with me, dyslexia actually helped me to be who I am. If I was not dyslexic, I would not be who I am today. Because of dyslexia, it helped me to have to rethink everything. And I mean everything. On a day-to-day basis, I have to go around things. I can't just go through them. You guys walk and talk and read everything. Me, I have to pause and take time to do it. And I use various tools to get through this.
So for those that don't know about this, and I'm one of those people, I mean, is this something that is just hard for to be detected because a young person doesn't know they have dyslexia?
No, a lot of professionals see it right off. The kid is struggling with their schoolwork. At first they think that, the kid is a little slow, but then once they do a little testing, they realize that these kids are dyslexic. And it's really heartbreaking for the parent. It's troubling for the kid. The kid is struggling, oh my God, every single day. It's heartbreaking. You have kids that'll tease them. You have kids that will say stuff. Like, for example, when I was younger, somebody would say, spell Mississippi. Well, I knew how to spell Mississippi because I could remember. It was pretty easy. But we would get teased, all those kids that are dyslexic, we get teased, and we didn't know how to deal with it. But my mother found a school that was special for dyslexic people, and for people that have these abilities that are extraordinary, like myself. I'm thankful for dyslexia, because I know how to do just about everything. I'm not bragging on myself, but dyslexia it helped me to have to figure out things. So I put stuff together that come in. Say I purchase something from the store, well, I can put it together without the instructions, because my abstract mind, because of dyslexia, helped me to see things totally different. So I'm ambidextrous, right and left hand. I eat with chopsticks with my left hand and right hand. So I'm sitting there and I drink with my left, eat with my right. People don't know that when they're looking at me, they're like, what the heck is this guy doing? Is he an octopus or something? It helped me tremendously.
Wow.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome story. An inspiring story, Gary. So that begs the question, what advice would you have for kids and young people that have dyslexia and then for the parents of those children?
Well, the first thing I would like them to do is purchase one of my books.
Ah, okay.
I have children's books that I've illustrated and written. And one of them is Sasha, I Can't Find My Bicycle. You can find that on Amazon. I have six more books I am about to release. They're in the editing phase right now. And but back to the question, what my advice for kids is never fear. Just keep going, because it's you'll figure it out. I wish I had could prepare to say more, but this is a different show, so maybe John will have me back when I release the books.
Boy, I didn't even finish the interview. This guy, he's always wanting to come back.
Yeah,
I love it.
You know,
yeah,
this is 35 years of self-employment.
Well, that's what, I'm with you.
You gotta
ask for the order, man.
Yes,
I don't blame you.
Yes.
No, that's great. But you've done more than just power through it. I mean, right? I mean, there's more to it than just that.
Yes. Well, when I write books, I use the tools today, which is Siri, which from the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I use another program called Dragon Naturally Speaking. And that helped me to write novels. I even written that one. Yes, I have two novels. We haven't had them edited yet, but one of the books is a four-part series. It's 375 pages. And the children's books range anywhere from one page up to 36 pages. And so I use the tools of today. Technology has become my best friend when it comes to writing books.
Wow. That's fantastic. Congratulations, Gary. That's quite a story.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's wonderful. And quite an inspiration, I know, to folks out there listening. Gary Grace, he is the owner and artist sometimes in residence. You're not always in residence because you're out traveling around, right? No, folks, if you listened earlier, you can find out how to get in Gary's gallery, even if he's not there.
Yeah,
so,
well, if you're part of the database of, like, if you're an interior designer, decorator, or buyer.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The movies, mm-hmm. The movie studios, those are the people that have access to come in and just look around. And
cool.
And,
cool. So if you're not part of that and want to be, or just want to know more, Gary, tell folks how they can be in touch.
You can reach me by phone at 678-283-5390, or you can reach me at atlantanorthart.com. And my email address is ggrace@atlantanorthart.com.
Outstanding. Gary Grace, Atlanta North Art Gallery, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Folks, you're connected today more than ever, whether it's your family or your friends or your life. Renaissance understands how you bank, offering the mobile banking services that you need. And Renaissance also knows that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers, and that's why Renaissance has more than 190 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. For more information, go to renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now we turn to Derek Griffin, and Derek is the president and owner of SpearTech. Derek, welcome.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. So tell us all about you. Tell us about SpearTech.
SpearTech has been around for about 20 years. We're based in Atlanta. Offices are on the backside of Georgia Tech. Our company, our sweet spot, what we're best at is building B2B or business-to-business websites. That's typically an e-commerce website for a company that is a product wholesaler or distributor. They might be a manufacturer, might be an importer. The industry doesn't matter, but we do a lot with people that are at the Gift Mart in Atlanta, whether they're based here in Atlanta or based on the West Coast.
You mean the merchandise mart, right?
Yeah, Gift Mart, merchandise mart.
Yeah, just to be clear. Yeah, okay, cool.
That's one industry we're heavy in, as well as industrial products, promotional products, branded merchandise, those kind of things.
Okay, Derek, I hate to break this to you, but there's lots of folks out there doing e-commerce websites, right?
Very aware of
that. I don't need to tell you that, do I? Tell us about how you're different.
So you're absolutely right. There's a lot of even do-it-yourself platforms or firms that will use what I would call sort of open source systems like Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce. Those are the big three, if you will. Those platforms are really geared towards consumer e-commerce. We specialize in wholesale or business-to-business e-commerce, and we're the only platform that's built for the unique needs of selling wholesale, whether that's different price levels depending on the customer or having to buy in case quantities because you sell a dozen at a time. Whatever those business rules are, those are things that our platform handles. We also work with companies that are usually a little bit larger than a retail operation, so they might have revenues of 5 to 50 million. When those businesses are bigger, they also need the site integrated to their accounting or ERP systems, and we're really good at that.
Now, Derek, you talked about, I guess, the differences in quantities between, you know, B2C, B2B.
Sure.
You talked a little bit about the some of the other differences. I'm just drill down in that a little more because I'm curious about, you know, what it is that B2B folks are looking for that they really can't get out there on the market, because it sounds like you've got a pretty unique platform.
So a quick example would be somebody that sells, for example, candles. If they're selling to a consumer, they're selling one at a time. But if they're selling to a retail store that's buying in bulk, they're buying a dozen at a time. So there's a minimum quantity of 12 and an incremental quantity of 12. And so the platform forces the retailer to purchase a dozen at a time. The other factor is that you may have obviously there's going to be a different price between retail and wholesale, but you may also have quantity price breaks, meaning if you purchase 12, it's at a regular wholesale price. But if you purchase 48 or 96 or 144, each quantity mark that you hit, the wholesale price drops a little bit.
And the integration, particularly into the inventory system, is it sounds like that's something you accommodate.
We do. So in a wholesale world, showing your inventory, because the store that's buying it needs to refill their shelf.
Sure.
So when they order, they expect to receive that in 2 to 3 days, ground, whatever it might be. So showing what your inventory levels are is important. So we've got quite a few clients where we pull that data from their accounting or ERP systems once an hour. And we also transfer data the other direction. So when an order happens on the website, it feeds into that accounting or business management system so that nobody has to key the order in.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Derek Griffin, he's with SpearTech. So talk about your experience, maybe just within your company or your prior professional experience, and how that contributes to the success of your clients.
Sure. So we've been around for 20 years, and we've got a ton of experience primarily with wholesale companies. So we've seen a lot of different unique needs from business to business. In a past life, I was a CPA for 7 years in public accounting, worked almost exclusively with closely held businesses, and then I took a jump out of tax season and was a CFO of a $20 million manufacturing company. I understand the business needs of a company far more than like a freelance web developer or a marketing agency, because I understand how things need to happen from an accounting standpoint.
That's pretty awesome. And that is pretty unique because most web developers don't have that experience at all, right?
They
to say the least.
Over, yeah. They kind of gloss over when you start talking about wholesale rules and, oh, this company needs to pay with a purchase order, but this one pays with a credit card. They're like, I don't know how to do that.
Mm. That's awesome. So you mentioned, I guess you described a typical client. Maybe you can tell us about if you have a sweet spot. Yeah, among those verticals, and maybe drill down if you've got a success story that you want to share of clients that you've worked with that you've particularly helped, you're proud of.
Sure.
Feel free to share that.
Okay. So sweet spot is in that, you know, small, closely held business. Most of our clients are probably in that 5 to 25 million space. We have some that are smaller and some that are significantly larger. An example of a success story, we've got a clothing manufacturer. They actually manufacture overseas, bring it in, but they make jackets that are mostly sold in the corporate apparel space. So a promotional product distributor will buy 48 jackets from them and then embroider a company's logo and sell it to that end company. But they, prior to us, they were taking all of those orders manually. People would call in. They really had no way for online ordering. They had built a website that had, technically it had online ordering capabilities, but it was so difficult to use that no one customer would use it. We redesigned the site, rebuilt it, integrated to their ERP, which ERP is basically a fancy or a accounting system on steroids. So it would show inventory and push orders over. Once that process was automated, our client really pushed they educated their customers that there's an easier way to do business with them. Within 6 months, 60% of their transactions were going through the website, and the website was handling more orders with nobody having to touch them than two of their full-time, full-payrolled staff. So the return on investment was literally within months.
Well, that's awesome because, you know, there's a lot of website developers that might struggle to show ROI, and you have no problem being able to do that, it sounds like.
Absolutely. We even have an ROI calculator on our website, and it looks at the project from two different calculations. One is, you know, if you're a $5 million company and you get even a 2% bump in revenue just because you look more professional and are easier to do business with, you look at your product margin, and it's easy math. And then you can also look at how many orders are now happening or going through your system automatically without having to have somebody key it in. And there's some operational cost savings there as well.
That's awesome. Derek Griffin, he is the president and owner of SpearTech. I can imagine that your work ends up putting you into some pretty complex projects.
It does. We recently did one for a large trucking company, and they have about 25,000 employees. Every employee has an individual balance because the company basically sponsors like an annual renewal of uniforms. So the employees can spend that money, and then if they go over their allotment, if you will, they put in a credit card for the difference. But we get a nightly feed of 25,000 drivers, so we know who's still active and who needs to be terminated. We also know which terminal each person is a driver at, so the orders automatically route to the right locations. And then we're pulling in additional data for the invoicing side, like a call center and a PO number that is specific for every location. All of this data, all these transactions feed automatically to both the uniform supplier and to the corporate office of the company that we're doing the site for.
Wow. Awesome work. Okay. Now, how do you let your hair down? This sounds like pretty high pressure stuff you're working on. Cause you've really got a company's, a process in your hands. So, lots of pressure there. How do you, decompress?
So one industry that we work in that, while it's not wholesale e-commerce, it's maybe unique e-commerce, we've been fortunate to work with a lot of partners of national parks. So I have, through that process, I've become a national park junkie over the last 10 years. So at least once a year, I'll take a trip and go hiking and kind of get away. And then this year was a bigger year for me. I turned 50 last week. So in September, me and my five brothers went and hit all five national parks in Utah in a 9-day run. And that was, wow, one of the best trips of my life. It was spectacular.
That's awesome. And Utah is not a small place, so you had a little running to do.
We did quite a bit of driving.
Yeah, yeah. So, but in the middle of some great scenery, though, right?
It's beautiful.
That's wonderful.
It looks different depending on where you are. We did one drive from Capitol Reef National Park over to Moab, and I swear the landscape changed every 15 miles. It was unbelievable.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, Derek, this has been great. You obviously do some great work for clients. For those that have heard what you've got to offer, maybe want to be in touch, tell them how to do that.
You can go to our website, which is SpearTech, and that's TEK.com. There's a Get Started button in the top right. You just click that and fill in some information, or you can call us at 770-674-3900.
Derek Griffin, he's the president and owner of SpearTech. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Folks, just a reminder, you can listen to this show every Tuesday. We have shows and sometimes special editions just like this one. We do the shows live at 11:30. But if you miss any of our live shows, good news, you can find a complete show archive on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Overcast, Podbeam, even YouTube. Your favorite podcast app. I have yet to have anybody stump me on a podcast app they can't find us on. But just go search North Fulton Business Radio on any of those platforms and you'll find us. You can also go to northfultonbusinessradio.com and find our show archive there as well. Social media wise, look for us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. We're at North Fulton BRX on all three of those platforms. So for my guests, Gary Grace and Derek Griffin, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Renaissance Rewards Extra is the checking account that checks all the boxes. Roadside assistance? Check. Cell phone insurance? Check. More than 400,000 local shopping discounts? Check. Up to $25 per month in ATM refunds and a great rate? Check. All in an easy-to-use mobile app. To open an account or find out more about Renaissance Rewards Extra Checking, go to renaissancebank.com or visit us at any of our more than 190 locations throughout the South. Renaissance Bank. Understanding you. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.